Well, my wife comes up here. I want her to share again in a few minutes. Y'all turn over to Luke chapter 11. I found something in my Bible I want to share with y'all. Luke chapter 11. Yeah, go right ahead.
God bless you. It's a blessing to be here this evening. It's been a great day in Jesus. I think things just keep building and the Spirit of God just keeps getting stronger here, and we're just excited to see what's going to happen next. You kind of hate to stop, but that's just, you know, we have to. We're human. I was asking God what to share with you this evening, and I remember when we were preparing to go to Mexico, I had a lot of fears and a lot of doubt and just fear of the unknown and didn't know what to do. And I just asked God to help me and encourage me and give me something to hold on to. And He showed me in the Bible the scripture that says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And I've held on to that all these years. It's been over 20 years now. And I was completely disowned by my family when we went to Mexico. And I just want to tell you, God's grace is sufficient. They've still not come back and still have disowned me, but God's given me a bigger and better family. And I feel totally secure in that. And the other family's in His hands. And His grace has been sufficient. I've seen each one of my children face the point of death, and God's grace has been sufficient. I've seen my husband, he got shot off of his horse one time and came home all bloody, and there was no hospital nearby, so I had to patch him up, and God's grace was sufficient in that too. And we've been in villages and had to eat many strange things, and I beg God to let it pass, let it disappear, let it change flavors, whatever, but we struggled through it, but God's grace has been sufficient. And, you know, even standing up here is a fearful thing to me, and God's grace is sufficient in that, too. But I just wanted to encourage you and tell you that God's grace is sufficient. Whatever it is that He'd have you go through, He'll give you the grace to do it, and He'll give you what you need at the time. You may not have it when you go. I didn't, and I still don't. But He's come through every time for me, and I just know He will for you, too. Thank you. God bless you.
Jesus. So I never did tell y'all about getting shot. I kept my mouth shut on that. It happens to the best. I'll tell you what's funny about that business about getting shot. Nothing. Nothing is funny about that. You know, when I woke up, I'm laying on the trail. My horse is still there. I can't get up. I can only crawl around because my equilibrium, he hit me in the side of the head over here. I'm sure y'all noticed that red scar on my head. It's not very noticeable. She did me pretty good. She fixed me up all right. Pretty good nurse, I reckon, doctor, whatever I need, she's always been there for that. And I have to tell y'all that it was pretty difficult because there were some people that I have some good friends, they're very powerful, and they wanted to wreak a little bit of revenge on some people. But I wouldn't even tell them where I was at, nor would I tell them who I thought it was. I told them I forgive them by the blood of Jesus. They don't know what they're doing. I give place to the hand and finger of God to take my revenge if it's necessary. And Miss Hogan patched me up, and what I did that you will more than likely disagree with, but that's the reason I'm in the jungle and you're not. Is I sent out my son, who is, how old is Jody? Get this right. How old is he exactly? 27. Be 28 next time, right? Pretty soon. Okay. He, at that time, I think he was 11 or 12. And I sent that little boy out in my place after I had gotten capped. I sent that boy to preach the gospel because it's a simple reason why. Called integrity. It's called honor. Very little of that left anymore in the modern world. It's called discipline. But I had given my word to the people that either I or somebody would be there to preach the gospel, and I can't be ever found a liar. You understand that? Never will I ever lie to those people. It is not the will of God. For any reason, light or heavy, it doesn't matter. It's all the same to me. So I sent my boy out in my place. He was gone. Actually, we're all gone at that time, weren't we? I'm laying in the room in there. She's in the living room in there. Y'all call it living room? Where the chairs and stuff are. Okay. I don't know. They call it something else in Spanish. It's a sala in Spanish. I guess that's a living room. But she was in there reading her Bible, praying. I didn't know that. I was hurting so bad and the pain was so severe. I'd been for hours with ice packs on my head and trying to calm down the pain and the hurt, and it just wouldn't work. Somebody opened the door and walked in. Oh, man. I didn't care if they came in. I was covered with his eyes. And I was hurting so bad. But then whoever it was touched me on the side of the head, right on the wound. Now, I cared about that. I ripped that ice off to find it was Jesus standing there, and he healed me. Jesus healed me. I stood straight up out of that bed, healed, walked right in there to my wife. I said, Mrs. Hogan, Jesus just come in there and healed me. Would you mind getting me some clothes? I'm going to take a shower. I'm fine. Thank you. So she got me some clothes, took a shower, and her and I had a night off together. First time, I don't know how long it was. It's pretty nice. I guess Jesus had to get me around the bush to get me to get a night off with that woman, didn't he? Holy Ghost. Luke chapter 11. I want to read this to you. It's an amazing thing. I run into it a while ago when I was reading my Bible. Verse 2. Boy, I got some good stuff to tell y'all. Hope I make it to it. And he said to them, whenever you pray, and you're going to pray, okay? Everybody hear me? Hello, interaction here. You going to pray? Yes. What are we going to pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, holy, holy is your name. What else are we going to pray? Your kingdom come. Your what? Where? As it is, where else? Okay. I believe you're getting it. I told you when I started here the other day, I'm going to be relentless with this. Because it's got to happen. You want revival, you want power, you want authority, you want anointing, you want the hand and finger of God, you've got to make sure you get a hold of His will. And not only that, you got to have His kingdom settling around you and about you, through you, permeate you. Everything you do has to do with the kingdom of God, and that will bring revival. It will. You cannot stop it once that's happened. So we're going to do that. We're going to ask God in Jesus' holy name. Jesus' holy name. Another scripture I ran into while I was looking a while ago over here in John, chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works I do, shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask. See, we're going to ask, aren't we? Last night we asked, we sought, and we knocked, didn't we? And we found too, didn't we? Did not God open to us last night? You that know the Spirit of God, that are used to it, that have walked in the anointing, God touched this house last night. He's going to touch us tonight. Greater. Stronger. Deeper. And more continuous. So you that are tired because the anointing's been keeping you up, I don't care, it kept me up too. I was up for hours. She wouldn't get off me. I couldn't sleep. But that's all right. It doesn't matter. As long as Jesus is there. As long as Jesus is there. Because we're going to ask. And we're going to seek. And we're going to knock. And He is going to give us the will of God and the kingdom of God because we are going to ask. And we're not going to ask amiss, like it says in James, to consume it on our own lust. That's not what we're after here. I don't want you to believe for one second I've traveled around the world for some lustful reason of my own. You need to travel a bit if you think that. You need to preach like we've been preaching. I'm telling you, 26 or 7 times in 10 days in 10 different cities in 4 different countries. That's not for a lust's sake. That's difficult to do. It's for Jesus' kingdom and power to be put into His people. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Work. Work. Good, hard, healthy work for Jesus. So people can be saved and delivered. Look, I was in a conference a few days, right before I came here, I was in a conference preaching Jesus. There was close to a couple thousand folks there. I'm preaching. And right at the end of the thing, there's this little grandma comes up there. Boy, I love grandmas. I'm not kidding you, boy. You better be listening because they're going to tell you what they want you to hear. You hear me? That little grandma came right up to the front. I had no idea what was wrong with her. Had no earthly idea. I just went straight to her, come off the platform. There were hundreds of people. I prayed for her in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Be healed. Poof, fell on the ground. I went down the prayer line. Poof, 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 praying, praying, praying. Came back on the second line. Poof, she was up again. Groggy. Prayed for her. Bang! She fell down. I went down this way. Poof, 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 poof. 2 times. Come back to, I'm after grandma again, boy. I'm back. I'm on. 3rd time. Grandma's standing there. Somebody's helping her. She's wobbling. Jesus' name, grandma. Bang! She's out. For the count this time. Got her. This is so good. I'm just about through praying. Now I'm wobbly like grandma was. I'm all over the place. I hear her hooting over there. I really like it when grandma starts hooting. So I made my way over to her. She was still hooting. I was looking at her. I was watching her hoot. Grandma's hooting. To them, it's really moving, mobile, but it's like almost slow motion, you know. And I'm watching her hoot, and she's jumping up and down, and I said, what's the matter with you? She said, I can see. I said, that's good. She'd been blind for 19 years. Isn't that something? See, and y'all think, I know how y'all think. Y'all are so proper, and y'all are so intelligent and everything. And you know, y'all think that I have to do things in a particular order, or we're not going to get anything done. Well, you keep your order, I'm going in the Holy Ghost. There's nothing wrong with being proper. There's something wrong with not moving in the Holy Ghost. You understand? All right. You can be all the proper you want, just do it in the Holy Ghost. Move in the Holy Ghost. Move in the Holy Ghost. Allow the anointing to come. Allow it to move through you. I didn't even ask her what was wrong with her. You know who the boss is? Jesus. You reckon he's at ease or worried because I didn't ask her what's wrong with her? I reckon he didn't forget his slippers just because I didn't ask her. I'm telling you, Jesus didn't lose off the throne because I didn't ask the lady what was wrong with her. Jesus said He didn't care as long as I touched her. Jesus, and I'll tell you this, if I hadn't touched her, He'd have touched her anyhow. He does that regular because sometimes I miss people. He don't. He don't miss them. He touches them. Could you imagine being a grandma 19 years blind and boom, healed? That must be recognized. That's nice. God is nice. You know that? God is nice. I ask God for the anointing tonight. I ask Him for the Holy Ghost's will to be done in this house, and I refute any other will and any other authority by the blood of Jesus. We clean the house of other authority and will, and we ask Jesus for His glory and wonder in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost! Yeah, I know I've already said it, but I want to read it to you in Matthew 7. I'm just taking a couple of minutes. I want to keep reading these little verses to you. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and what's going to happen to you? It will be given to you. It shall be. Seek, and what's going to happen? You will find. Knock, and what's going to happen to you? It'll be open to you. It will be open to you. I double dog dare you to give God a second chance. There was this preacher. Because when I leave Mexico, I talk quite strict to my pastors. We have somewhere close to 300 of them that are lead pastors now. And there's just bunches of them. And so I talk to them. And I get them, you know, and they're just like my sons. So, and all the Americans are there always when I'm giving these corrections and talking to. And I'm just talking, walking up and down through, and I'm hitting them on the head, popping them with my handkerchief and everything else. And people just falling out all over the place. They don't ever hear everything I say because they fall down. Boom. And so I'm talking to them and talking to them. But I just can't tolerate it. It's not the will of God. It's sin if we don't win souls, you see. It is a demonic thing to not win souls. And so we're happy. And boy, I'm telling them, you know, you got to win souls. You're going to burn in hell and all this. And they're excited about it. They're going to get some, well. One of my pastors, he's the main guy. He hadn't been doing very well. Let's see. That's a relevant term, I reckon. Compared to our work, hadn't been doing very well. Our work really stoking right now. And he was not feeling well because he's over a whole section. And he's a director. But you see, there wasn't much happening. He was just feeling kind of awful, to tell you the truth. Well, wait, let's go somewhere else. We read that. Okay, let's go to Mark. Mark, chapter 3. Jesus. So when I left, I told him to get things done. I said, I want new churches. When I come back here, I'm talking about I want some new churches. I don't care what you have to do. Steal them from somebody. But I want new churches. Yeah, we ain't got to steal them. We just got to go preach the gospel. And so he's trying, oh man, nothing's happening. He went to a village. This is fixing to impress you. He did it he was really kind of stressed about it, to tell you the truth. You know, it was getting close to the wrong attitude. Okay? More like in men pleasing than God pleasing thing. Because I'm putting so much pressure on these guys to perform. That's good, but it could go the wrong way as well as it go the right way. So I have to be real careful about making sure that it's done in the Holy Ghost instead of in a way to please a man and to make sure that a man don't get any glory out of it and so forth, so that all the glory belongs to the Lord Jesus, because it does. Okay? So, but he's kind of stressed, like I told you. So he goes to this new village, and he's got his whole crew with him. Then they're out there, they got tracks. Man, and I mean, they're going house to house, and nobody will even take a tract from them. Oh, boy, this is rough. This is not good. He's not having a good time at all. He went through the whole village, and the whole village turned him down. He's just sitting there. He's sitting under a tree. There was this prophet one time did this that I remember. He's sitting under a tree, and he's really angry. What is the matter? I pray, I fast, I seek God. I know I'm right. I know we got the fire of God. We got the revival. We got, you know, on and on the list. We know all the right things to say, but nothing's happening. Y'all ever felt that way before? And so, you know, he's going along. And he said, we're going to that last neighborhood right over there on the way. I'm going home. I'm tired and I'm mad and I'm not going to get nothing done like this. He walks over there to this last house. And this fella walks out there. Now this fella's mad already. Because Brother Peter has some tracts in his hand, right? Now, these people don't understand tracts. They don't understand the gospel. There's none there. But this fella has been around a little bit because of his son. You didn't find out why. Brother Peter said, look, I'm a pastor. I'm from such place over here. The guy said, excuse me just a minute. Just turned right around and walked in the house. Went in there and got him a, y'all know what a machete is? Got him a machete and starts walking up to Brother Peter. Brother Peter's talking to him. He reared back, Brother Peter took off running. Guy said, don't you ever come back. I'll kill you if you come back here. Well, you know, probably normal Christianity would think maybe the will of God didn't want him there. But we are God people. We are Jesus anointed, Holy Ghost filled individualists. And for a devil to come up and rear up like that, it's time to reckon up with him. Oh, you're going to kill us, are you? Well, just let's see if you got it. So Brother Peter walks up to him and says, look, I don't know what's got you hacked off. I don't have any idea. I haven't done anything to you. That guy raised that machete. He said, come on with it. He said, I rebuke you. I rebuke your devil. I rebuke everything about you. You don't have the right to kill me. What have I done to you? All I want to tell you is about the love of God. The guy threw the machete on the ground, walked inside, and got this orange basket. Now, orange basket, they take these bamboos and split them all up, and they weave these baskets. It's about a little over a meter tall, and they put it around their head, and they pick oranges in those baskets, see, up those trees. So he brought this orange basket out there and set it down in front of Brother Peter and the crew, and they all looked in there, and there was a man sitting in there. 23-year-old man sitting in an orange basket. Brother Peter said, what is that? He said, that's my son. His head, his neck was broke slam off. His head was laying over on his shoulder. Guy was paralyzed from the neck down. Brother Peter said, look, that's what we're here for. God will touch that man. He said, no, he won't. You touch him, I'll kill you. He said, I've waited here. But in the beginning, I waited for the Catholics to come and pray. I waited for the witch doctors to come and help us. I waited. Then I heard about the gospel and the evangelicals. Nobody came. Now, I'm over caring whether you come, and if you touch him, I'll kill you. Brother Peter reared back and said, listen, you must be born again. You get born again, I give you my word that God will heal that boy. Now then, that's the kind of gospel we preach, and that's the kind of challenges we give. Y'all's mentality cannot conceive that. You don't want to conceive it. It's because you don't believe it. In your opinion, because somebody has taught you, because you're intelligent, when a bone is broken half in two and been that way for 22 years, it cannot be fixed. And logically thinking, that's true. Godly thinking, that's not true. Look at this. Mark 3, verse 9. He spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest he should throng him. And he, verse 10, for he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him to touch him, and many as had plagues, unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down and worshipped him. You are the Son of God. Do you understand that even demon spirits know who Jesus is? And we can't even get our Christians to worship God because the time limit or time schedule may be wrong for their schedule, so they're not going to worship God regardless of their problem or situation. That is wrong, church. We repent. Tonight we ask. We're going to ask God for greater power. He's going to give it to us. We're going to ask you for greater anointing, greater will, greater kingdom of God to be manifested in this house. He is going to give it to us. I'm assured of it. It will happen. In Jesus' name, it will happen. It will happen. Brother Peter said, you bring that man right there in that basket to my church, and you get born again. God will heal that boy. That man picked up his knife. He said, you get out of here. So he left. A few weeks go by, and Brother Peter is up there preaching in his little church. A few hundred people, that's all he's got. Preaching, Jesus. Outside a donkey pulled up. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Y'all drive BMW donkeys. Yeah. Donkey pulls up outside. He's got a basket tied on the side of the guy. Tied his donkey to the post. Unlashed the basket. Brought him inside. Set it down at the back door. He just squatted down by the basket. And just watched Brother Peter preach. Brother Peter got through preaching and walked straight to the back. Told that man, you get born again, God will heal that boy. That man didn't say a word. Picked up the basket, went and tied it on the donkey and left. A couple of weeks later, Brother Peter's up there preaching the gospel again. Outside a donkey pulls up, tied it onto the post. Unlashes the basket, brings it inside, sets it at the back door. Leans down on just listen to Brother Peter preach the gospel. At the end of the message, Brother Peter climbs down off the platform, walks back to the back. You must be born again. You get born again, God will heal that boy. Guy didn't say a word, picked up the basket, went and tied it on the donkey and left. Now I'm telling you, it's a 2-hour walk between these villages. Do you understand what's going on here in these mountains? Third time, this is weeks later, third time, here come the donkey. Same thing. Brother Peter's preaching. Unlashed the donkey, or the basket. Set it at the back door. The guy's just sitting down there listening to Brother Peter preach the gospel. Brother Peter climbs off the platform, walks to the back, tells that man, you must be born again. When you get born again, God's going to heal that boy. This time the man stood up and said, okay. What do I do? So Brother Peter said, come with me. They took him down front, left the kid in the basket alone. Walked down front, led this guy to Jesus. The whole church prayed for him. Boom, boom, boom. Then he sent the elders, go get me that boy out of that basket. Now, do you understand? I am not a doctor, but I understand how critical it is for people's head to be broken and just lopping around. Kill you. It can kill you dead. These elders dig this kid out of that basket. His head's lopped over on the side. He's all shriveled up. They're dragging him. Drug him up front. This is amazing. Brother Peter's standing there. He told that daddy, now that you've gotten born again, your heart is fixed toward heaven, you have the right to know that God loves you, loves your son. This boy will be born again. He will be healed. Brother Peter turns around to that man and says, give me something about the blood of Jesus. He learned that from me. I like the blood of Jesus. So he started singing about the blood. La sangre de Cristo tiene poder para deshacer lo que haya en mi ser. The blood of Jesus has power to undo anything that might be in my being. Started singing and singing. Well, the elders gathered around this kid and started praying for him. Nothing happened. Jesus' name, nothing happened. Hour goes by. They're still worshiping Jesus. Nothing happened. Listen, honestly, this is one of the most amazing things you'll ever hear. The kid is standing there, his head lopped over. 22 years he's been this way. Just singing and worshiping God and thanking Him for the blood of Jesus, the kid's head went, but just stood up. The elders and everybody's. You ever read in the Bible in Acts chapter 3 where it says his feet and ankle bones received strength and begin to walk and leap and praise God? That's exactly what happened. Isn't that something? Man. Jesus! Woo! Come on. Ask. Ask. Ask for the will of God. Ask for the kingdom of God. Believe. 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 Whatsoever you ask, I will do it. That's what the Bible says. Jesus went around doing what? Good. And what else? Healing who? All that were what? Oppressed of whom? The devil. Isn't that something? God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. Turn with me over here to Romans chapter 8 now, please. I have to tell you something else. Is it all right if I keep going here? I realize I got y'all reeling. Y'all are pretty scared here. Talking about blinded eyes getting opened and necks, broken necks being healed. And oh man, I'm expecting you to believe a lot. Yes, I am. I sure do. Because I had nothing to do with this. All I just happened to be the person there teaching somebody that you can do it. You can do it. You believe it. It will happen. You do it. Jesus is the one doing the work. It's the Father that does the work. We believe He works. He likes to work. He enjoys touching His people. He enjoys it. The presence of God is what we've got to have. We've got to enjoy the presence of God, church. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, man. Look at Romans 8:31. Romans chapter 8. Very, very well-known verse here. What shall we say then to these things? What's He going to tell these things that's harassing you? What's He going to tell these problems that's trying to dominate you? You've got to tell them something. What shall we say to these things? Well, I have something to say. Of course, you knew I would. I've always got something to say. Oh, and probably, and usually, quite aggressively. If God is for me, this thing has to move. And it didn't mention any list of names either. It just said, if God's for me, who can be against me? I reckon that takes in quite a bit of people, things, problems, regardless of their name. Isn't that right? You know, do y'all realize how fortunate of an individual I am? I get to go around the world and get to go to the best services that there are in the world, man. I get to go to the revivals. I get to preach into, where God's just pouring. I get invited to some of the most wonderful places, like Brighton, England. You know? I get to go places where people are hungry for God. And I get to talk about, and you ought to feel how I feel when I'm through preaching to you. Some of you people are like a dry spot. You are hungry. You're just taking stuff off me. But you don't know what? It's not mine. Have it. Have all you want. There's plenty for everybody. I am not a selfish, stingy individual. I'm not. I'm really not. I want everybody to experience this power. I'm not kidding you. It's so wonderful. See, what you got to realize is that in the middle of all of this power and glory, the demon is constantly conniving and deceiving and trying to rip us off and get our attention off of God and onto things. All right? Here I get up here and I tell you all these wonderful stories and, you know, and I encourage you to ask, to believe, you know, come on, you can do it, come on. And you say, maybe I can. And then as soon as you step out the door, whap! A thing gets you. Some thing gets you. Oh, it feels bad, frustrating. Here you've experienced the glory of God and you've Oh, and it's probably some of the best you've ever felt in your life. And as soon as you walk out, in your encounter with the world again, you have to do that. You have to encounter it. A thing hammers you. Bang! Well, what do you say to those things? You say, if God is for me, who can be against me? The thing don't listen very well sometimes. So you have to say it over and over and over. You have to keep believing. That's when you have to start, listen to this, this is when you have to start walking out what I've been telling you. It's energy and strength to you. It's not just an emotional high. It's so you can be changed in the twinkle of an eye so that you can be powerful and energetic and the one the devil fears. You understand that? One of my main leaders, he's a good guy. Oh, man. Church is not the biggest, but it's a strong. They worship, they praise, they... Man, they're very stable people. Not everybody that's in our work. Our work is lots of levels of people, of churches. But this one particular church is very stable. They're good people. Monetarily, they're blessed for Indians. They're in a good place where the government is pro-evangelicals, where you can work and no problem. It's just ideal. Everybody has good coffee and citrus crops, and it's really a good place to be. We had gone to a place called Jalpilla. Jalpilla, It's one of our churches. It's a good place. You should go there with me sometime. You'd probably be blessed by it. It was probably one of the best services we'd had the whole year. Happened back in December. It was right out a couple of days after Christmas, and the tamales were flowing. It was surprise package city, buddy, Brother David. you get 10 or 12 of those big things. You can all eat them all, but you got to. Oh, so, got through eating them all. The Holy Ghost comes like, there's no way to even, I would never even have thought to ask Him to come like that. It was so beyond what we ask or think. It's the way it's supposed to be. You spend your day worshiping God. You go out to church and you do your job, and the Holy Ghost comes in greater measure than you were. I've got some pretty good, pretty high expectations. And for Him to supersede me, He's out there. Well, He did it. We're still, to this day, reeling over that service. It was really good. The things God did, and you just hide in the corner hoping He don't get you. You're actually trying to hide from God because there's so much going on. Fear is everywhere. And He's just doing all sorts of stuff. Healing the deaf ears, blinded eyes. People you've prayed for and sought the Lord for. But just all of a sudden, Jesus just walks in. Boop, 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 boop. And you're just backing up from it. Wow. Now watch this. This guy picks up. I go home. Everybody goes home finally. Late. Real late. A thing got after Brother Jose. A thing called the devil. Listen, he's walking home from the best service of the year. Gets home, his wife fixes him a glass of water, because he lives in a dirt floor stick house. They can't run down to the Aberdeen Steakhouse like y'all do and get something to eat, you know. He's just sitting there, and the devil, listen to me. Manifested form of the devil walked in the house, grabbed him by the throat, and went in his mouth. How about this one? This is wild. The guy is still in the, listen to this. He is still drunk in the Holy Ghost, and the demon attacks him. How do you figure? Isn't that so? He starts quivering. I mean, he's choking to death. Thank God. He died right in front of his family. But what shall we then say to these things? Death is a thing. If God is for us, who, including premature death spirits, who can be against us? Is this true or not? This guy is laying there out dead on the floor. His two little girls and his boy are just wailing. But let me tell you something about women of God. They carry the highest respect in my insides of anybody. His wife is awesome. Instead of ranting and raving and wailing, and she threw herself down on her husband and said, "Not today, thing, in the name of Jesus." Yeah. Yeah. Listen. There's something to this thing of the Holy Ghost. There's something to it. She prayed for a while. Nothing happened. She grabbed her 12-year-old boy. "Listen to me. It's night, late at night. You go through the jungle and you get Pastor Eligio." "But Mama, don't butt Mama me. I have nobody else to send." She's touching her husband, calling him back, refuting and rebuking the devil. God is greater. God is greater. Jesus' name. Son takes off. She must be somewhere around 10 kilometers. I mean, he's beating it through those jungles, running hard as he can. His daddy's dead. He's confused. It's night. Come on, you got that with me? You understand where we're at here? Things are not good. Home team is in a bind. It's not good. Oh, man. He makes it to Brother Eliseo's house, banging on the door. Dogs is barking. Chickens are clucking. "Brother Eliseo, what's the matter with you?" "Daddy's dead." Takes off with him. Now, you got to understand, this is hours gone by now. Run through the jungle. You get there. Brother Eliseo surveys the situation, talks to the wife, what happened to him, the devil came, blah, blah, blah. I mean, the service. Do you understand what I'm telling you? By far, the greatest service we'd ever experienced, and immediately we got retaliation. See, and if you're not prepared for battle, you'll let your guard down and you'll get overrun. But you got to ask and keep on asking. You got to seek and keep on seeking. You got to knock and keep on knocking, even when things are going your way. When things are going your way is when you're the most vulnerable. Do you know that when things are real good for us, it's when I hunker down and really get with it and get ready, because something's going to come. So we prepare for battle the greatest when things are going better for us. Isn't that something? I'm teaching you some good stuff, yeah. It's not survival, it's victory in battle. It's not just survival tactics. This is victory against the enemies of our God. When thieves come against you, what you going to tell them? "God is for me. Who can be against me?" "You can't, devil, out." Are you hearing me? I tell you this by experience. Brother Eliseo, one of my great sons also. I have lots of those now. It's a blessing. Used to, there weren't any. Now there's just bunches of them. He threw himself down because he's seen me do this before, and it's the right thing to do. We read it in the Bible. He threw himself down right smooth on top of this guy. I mean, foot to foot, knee to knee, chest to chest, eyeball to eyeball. He took his mouth, opened it up, and breathed into it. Just like the prophet did, because I told him that was the thing to do. "Be healed in the name of Jesus." Demon, thing, out. He rolled off, told his wife, "You mind fixing me a cup of coffee?" She said, not at all. Went and fixed the man a cup of coffee. They were sitting there drinking coffee. Jesus' name. The guy sits straight up. Vomited a few times. Seven. Six of them were clear. The seventh one was, I'll just say it had some adjustments in it. Alive adjustments. It was a demon. They lopped it like I told them to do, threw it in the fire. That was healed. Isn't that something? I'm telling you to hear what I'm telling you. Understand what I'm saying. God is going to come and He's going to get stronger and stronger. As long as you keep opening up to God, He'll keep coming. He will not stop. I am immaterial. I am irrelevant. What's relevant is God. What's relevant is you. What's relevant is your heart. Your ability to open and stay open to God and let His presence come in the house. That's what is relevant. Okay? I asked that brother, I said, man, what? He said, I don't know. So, we don't know. All we know is it was an awesome service. Jesus came, the devil came, the devil left, Jesus stayed. That's all we know. Come on now. Cristo vive. Jesus is alive. I love the gospel. I love preaching the gospel. There's so much power in the gospel. We ask you, God, for your power. We ask you, God, for your anointing. We ask you, God, for your stability. We ask you, great one, for your increase in anointing. We ask you for your will, great God. We ask you for the kingdom of God. Now, I've been in revival. God has touched us since 1995. We have been raising the dead since 1984. We have seen every miracle, as far as the human body goes. There is not a part of the human body that we haven't seen healed or recreated. Okay? And then when God came in the Shekinah presence in 1995, on October the 27th, He came back again on January the 4th, 1997. He came back again February the 13th, 1998. And He came back again February the 22nd, 1999. Now, all these manifestations, coming back means there was visual sightings of the Shekinah presence of God when He came in the house. That's what we mean by coming back. He's always with us. He's always with us. And we never know at what point He's going to settle back in the house and mist everything up where we can't see. It's always a different color, too. Last time was gold, had a gold hue to it. And it just runs across everywhere and takes everybody out as it goes. It's a phenomenal thing. The presence, the anointing, it's the Shekinah anointing. And it's really awesome. Okay? Now you gotta understand, I've been in these things now a long time. I have been in this and in the, I don't know, I wish I had all these answers, but it's gonna help you because I don't have them. It'll help you in your life as an individual Christian of God as a personal believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I can't get up here and explain everything and say, this is the way it is. You're just goofy. It's not that way. We are not goofy. You are not out there by yourself. More than likely, you're not wrong as a believer. Because other people seem to get more blessed than you, get things worked out better than you. They seem to progress greater. And you just seem like you're just not doing very well. Well, I got some news for you. Don't let that thing bother you. I've got some great news for you. Relax. Don't get yourself so worked up. Cálmense. Calm down. People come to me, man, and I'm just looking at them. I don't expect them just to pop any second. I just grab them by the throat where they can't talk. Just put my thumb in their throat. Calm down. It's going to be all right. Really. God's bigger than the thing. About a year ago, y'all, I got sick. I won't tell y'all this. I preach every day. You go along, probably in a month's time I may have two off days. I mean, I've got to be, every time I get up, I've got to be right. That is serious stress. I don't want to make any mistakes. I want to be where anything I can say will be backed by the Holy Ghost. I have to be that way. That takes a lot of pressure. I mean, seeking God, you have to be, but it's good pressure. I want the pressure. I want to be right. I want to seek God. I want it. All right? But boy, oh boy, after years and years, it loads you up. Okay? I started getting sick. I hid it from Miss Hogan. I didn't want anybody. God can heal me. I touch thousands and watch them healed. Every night I pray for hundreds and dozens get healed. God can heal me the same way. He didn't. So this sickness turned into two sicknesses. But I'm still, what the Bible says, soportandolo. I'm still able to hold it. Then it went to three. They turned into major problems. I ended up with seven major demons, y'all. I'm not going to tell you their names. I don't want to. But they are major offenses against known humanity now. Let's just say it like that. Finally, I couldn't hold it from her any longer. She was praying. She knew. Come on. She's Miss Hogan. There's hardly anything I can hold from her. I mean, she knows. She prays and fasts so much. I mean, she knows stuff. I did pretty good. I just didn't do it good enough. And y'all, I was sick. But I told her, I said, I'm going to keep it from the kids. Couldn't. Thing got me. Put me in the ground. The demon hit me. My skin turned like the gray color of this carpet. I lost lungs, heart, eyes. Everything went away from me. Then without those things, you cannot function. I don't know if you know that. Well, let me read a verse of Scripture to you, verse 31 of Romans chapter 8. What shall I say then to these things? If God is for me, I'd just like to know who can be against me. I stand up here in front of you. I'm healed now. And I went through a serious battle. I was losing blood. Every organ in my body felt like it was exploding out. I've got several nurses and doctors that are around me all the time. They were telling me some serious stuff. Finally, I went. I'm standing. What happened was, actually, Ms. Hogan found me by the bed that night because I started passing out. And I'd wake up and she'd be holding me, praying in tongues, bringing me back. And I told her, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, but I got to go preach. Got to go preach. See, there's not anybody, any one of you would have said a word to me for taking a sabbatical, R&R, anything else. All the years that we preached, no time off, no heavy nothing, no time to really recover. Nobody would say a word. My Indians would say to me, they did say to me, "You're more valuable to us. Go and rest and come back when you're ready. We need you back." But you see, my Bible says to me, trust God. So I'm in a problem. My Bible says to me that these things do not have the right to win over me. But they have nearly killed me now. I'm standing in the shower. Ms. Hogan just finally looked at me and said, "This is God. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to take you to the border, to the United States. We're going to put you in our office, and God, you're going to give God a chance to heal you." I said, "My schedule will not allow that." She said, "Your schedule stops now." I said, "Not so. Hush, woman." Finished my shower. Didn't I? Finished my shower, got dressed. But see, her words were bothering me. Because she's always been with me, for me, dry, dry, dry. Never say a word, just stand there with me. Thick and thin, losing, winning, just standing there. But this time she spoke up. I reckon I got off to myself. I figured, this must be pretty bad. I went out there to the ranch, and I said, called the men together. Most of my men were out there working on the ranch. Was putting a roof on that big building. Putting up the steel structure. I'm a steel worker also. So I'm trying to work. Can't work. I can't even climb a scaffolding. And I'm sitting there. Finally, I called them over. "Sorry. I'm dying, fellas. What do y'all want me to do?" I actually said it out of my mouth. The first time. They looked at me, they couldn't believe I said that. That's not how I talk. I live, I do not die. Do you understand? Things do not bother me, I bother things. You understand that? This is not difficult for me to talk about because of the power of God. This brings about creation power. You fix the seat. I am amazed. They didn't say nothing. Brother Jeff Baker, y'all remember him. Some of y'all do. He was here last time with me. He's a prophet. He looked me right in the face. He said, "Thus saith the Lord God Almighty, get out of here." I said, "Thanks, Jeff. That don't help me a bit. I was expecting you to be my best supporter. Thus saith the Lord, get a grip and suck it up. Let's go." And he said, "That's not true." I said, "Okay. What are you other guys?" So they all agreed. Now we're into something I've never been into. Listen to this. Now listen to this. I've never turned my back in battle. Do you understand what I've just told you? And in my mind, that's what I was doing. All right. Maybe it wasn't so. Turns out, it wasn't so. But to me, mentally, what little bit of hold I had left when they agreed with Ms. Hogan that I should turn and just take a few weeks off and rest and seek God, give God a chance. To me, that was being in the battle and letting go of the plow and turning off of it. That's how I felt. So it made me that much more depressed, and that didn't help a thing. As a matter of fact, it hurt a lot. Now watch. I want you to read verse 32. "God that spared not his own son," look at that, "but he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Ms. Hogan was telling me, "You're doing the right thing, son. You're too weak to understand. Your mind is not in the right track. You're out of the right track. You don't see what's the matter with you. You're a dead man if you don't listen." So I got up to our office, to our house. I'm sitting in the chair. Now listen to this. I never sleep more than 4 hours. I don't know why I can't. I don't know if it's the care of the church. I don't know what it is. I don't know. But I get up, I pray, I seek God. I never sleep. I went to bed at dark. Woke up the next morning, told Miss Hogan, what time is it? It was noon the next day. From 8 o'clock at night to noon the next day. I've never done that in my life. And then, I'm starting to see that I'm dying. My body's shutting down. My coloring is wrong. The seven different demons that are killing, they're just destroying my body. So I told her, I said, this is what we're going to do. You and I have to make a decision. Do we trust God all the way? Or do I go see the doctors? I need to know what your opinion is because it's valuable to me. She didn't answer me. She walked off. But she came back later. She said, this is my opinion. We trust Jesus. I said, do you understand what that means? Because if I lock hands with you and covenant with you to trust Jesus, whatever happens, I'm happy with. She said, so be it. Okay? So we started from that moment. What's this? Look at verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. You see that verse? Wow! Regardless of what other people think about what we're doing, regardless of our decision, whether you agree with it or do not agree with it, I don't care. God's the one. God will fix this. If we are doing right, His justification is satisfactory to me. You understand? But I'll tell you, it got worse. She picked me up off the floor 36 times. I would stand up and fall flat on my face. Gone. I'd be gone. I'd wake up. Her and the kids be praying in tongues. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. This went on for days. No turnaround, no help, no nothing. Just horrible, horrible pain. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Horrible. You understand? Okay. I know you can tell a difference. Brother Dave was telling me today at lunch, man, you are so different. Let me just tell you why. It's because I've been with Jesus. The thing came. But Jesus took the thing away. I was the lowest I've ever been in my life, ever. And I told Miss Hogan, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get up on time. You're going to have to help me. I'm not physically capable, but I want you to help me go in there, sit me in that chair, turn my computer on. I want to seek God. I want to seek God. I want to seek God. I want to seek God with my last breath, Brother Ashley. I want it to be where I'm saying, yes, Lord, I will ride. I want to be an example and a good one. These things don't have the right to mess with me like this. But they're tormenting me and they're hurting me. And I rebuke them. And she did. She helped me. Man, we day in, day out. I was in there. Then, October the 17th, 1998. Just like the rest of the mornings, I get up, I'm in tremendous pain all over. Every part of me is hurting. Every organ on me is bad, bad, bad. Okay? Blood is everywhere. Dysentery. I mean, it's horrible, y'all. Nothing's working. Things just quit. Golly, it was rough. People say to me, how do I get compassion? It's simple. Suffer a little bit. You get plenty. I I looked over at my wife. Remember this? And I told her, hey, there was no great clash of thunder. There was no angelic visitations. Jesus didn't come and say, hey, everything will be all right. I looked at her. We had been praying for days. And I looked at her that morning and I said, Miss Hogan, I said, what's the matter? I said, the pain is gone. It left without any violent nothing. It just left. And I was healed at 8 o'clock in the morning on the 17th of October, 1998. Isn't that something? All of those demons left me. And they're very powerful if you submit to them. But if you submit to Jesus and the justification of the Holy Ghost, you can be freed if you believe, if you trust, if you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you shall find. If you knock, it will be opened unto you. You understand? God healed my body. It feels so good to be healed. I'm so excited. Look at this. Look at this. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather than is risen again. I tell you, I didn't die, but I feel like I have been raised from the dead. I got so much energy. Oh, man, I am so refreshed. I am so healed. I'm so blessed. Woo! It feels good. Isn't that something? That is something. Look at this. It says right here, shall tribulation separate us from the love of Christ? No. Shall distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Peril? Sword? No. I am convinced that it's all right. If I have to die, so be it. For the Holy Ghost's sake, we're killed all the day long. That's fine with me. Verse 37. No. In all these things, what are we, church? We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I tell you, you are more than a conqueror. You are not a conqueror of nations. You are more than that. You understand? You are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. How else can I walk into these huts? Somebody's laying dying of cholera. Climb on top of them. Breathe the cholera air. Breathe the life of God into them and get off of them and tell them, fix them a cup of coffee because they're fitting to get healed. And they go fix the coffee, bring it in, the people get up and are healed. How else? Because I tell you, we are more than conquerors. We are more than... I am persuaded, look at verse 38. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I tell you, the love of God through Jesus is powerful. It's awesome. It's wonderful. One of our churches, there's a cholera epidemic. It's powerful. That stuff's rough. There's no clinic in our church, where our churches are. The doctors come and say, can we open y'all's church up to be a clinic? Get this. They come and say to you, Brother Ashley, there's a plague. We don't have enough space. Can we put sick people in here? Yeah, move all these chairs out of here. Line them up. You know what? You know what we do? Guess what? This is simple. You can do this. You fill the church up with all these unsaved, almost dead people with cholera. See? Life is simple. That's how you do it. And then you ring the church building with believers. And you have them swap out every hour, 24 hours a day. Listen to this. You ready? In the morning, Everybody that was dying with cholera is healed. Jesus. Jesus. So the doctors say, we got more. We say, we got space. Bring them in. Fill them up. In the night. Pray all night. In the morning. They're all healed. Think of that. Wow. How do you handle plagues? Jesus. How do you handle personal problems and injuries? Jesus. Let me read one more thing to you. Verse 31. And I'm going to quit because it's time to again. What shall we say then to things? Somebody tell me what we're going to say. God is for us. Who can be against us? Stand up and let's pray together, please. I certainly hope you're ready for a touch from heaven because it's here. God is here. Jesus is here. Mr. Hogan? Thank you, Pastor. Jesus. 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 Can we worship Jesus Church, please? Shule kohlem pahare nekitane kitane. Blinded eyes see, the lame walk, the deaf see, hear.